Hey guys, Maria Menounos here. Before your favorite AfterBuzz TV after show begins, I'm so excited to tell you that my new cookbook is out. It's called The Every Girl's Guide to Cooking. It's the quickest, fastest, easiest, most amazing recipes for kitchen newbies and chefs alike. Please check out MariaMenounos.com for more info. Buzz you later.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing after shows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
If you're feeling down, no.
Hello, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans! Welcome to another episode of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show. I don't know what this is, but I'm digging it.
It's a nice change of pace.
It is. That was not what I was expecting to hear at all, but I love it. We are talking.
Steve, you can just kill that.
Oh, no, leave it. It's nice. And it's nice and soothing.
Because we're about to talk about some heavy stuff.
We are.
Right now.
We are about to talk about some heavy stuff tonight. We are it is. Talking about season 3, episode 12, The Inside Man. How are y'all doing tonight?
Great.
Doing well.
Well, we're not going to waste any time. We have got so much to talk about. Not just relating to the show, but also there's a ton of Marvel news to go over tonight. So let me go ahead and let's not waste any time. Introduce my fantastic panel, Jesse Klein.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jesse Klein. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JessKlein1. That's JessKlein, the number one.
Zach Wilson.
Guys, thanks so much for joining us. I'm so excited to be back talking about more S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yep.
You tweet me throughout the week, throughout the show. That's Zach Wilson.
Joyce Ajuri.
Cool. I share Zach's same sentiments. You guys can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at JAjuri.
And I'm your host, Megan Salinas. You guys can tweet at me at the Menguin. That's THEMENGUIN. Zach is also keeping an eye on the live chat, and we are also keeping an eye on the hashtag ABTVMarvel. So for those of you who are used to using ABTVShield, go ahead and use ABTVMarvel from now on. That's what we're going to be keeping an eye on. And for those of you in the live chat joining us live, because you guys, some of you are up at astronomical hours, we want to go ahead and do something special for you guys tonight. We are doing one of our poster giveaways tonight.
Woo.
And tonight we are going to give it away to someone in our live chat. We'll talk about...
these are two posters.
Yeah, it's a front and a back. You can choose. It's got Agent Carter on the back, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on the other side.
Ooh.
But we'll be doing posters. A giveaway for that, and we'll explain that a little later on.
Sounds great in the mics.
Oh, yeah.
So, for those of you who want to win a fun poster, stick with us. Please don't break anything. We're doing that later on tonight. So, let's go ahead and dive right into it. Guys, we had a fan tweeted us before the show, thankfully without any spoilers, saying that they're not normally speechless after an episode of S.H.I.E.L.D. And we can kind of see why this episode would sort of leave them that way, given one of the final images that we got in this episode. So I want to know, how are you all feeling after tonight's episode? Because it's a combination of, like, that was a great episode, and just, ew, I need a shower.
I mean, somebody needs a shower. It's not necessarily us.
He's probably going to need, like, 10 showers to get that gunk out of his hair.
No, this was a fantastic episode. It had a large amount of twists and turns. It had quick little action sequences that we associate with S.H.I.E.L.D. It had creepy bad guys and villains. It dealt with the politics of the Marvel universe in a realistic and down to earth way while talking about inhumans among us in society.
Yeah, I like this episode a lot just because it was so simple. Like, it was just like, they're there to go to this conference and see if they can find who the traitor is. And that was the basic premise, and it was just layered with a lot of really interesting things. We got Absorbing Man back, we got a lot of treachery and deceit.
Yeah.
And
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, I think, really good spy stuff.
Yeah. I think most of all what this episode did, which I think we were kind of needing the last episode, was establishing like the power of Hydra and Gideon Malik and like giving a clear like opposing force.
Yeah.
Because like the last episode, we knew that Ward Hive was still around, but like we didn't really know what was going on. We saw Malik lose assets to S.H.I.E.L.D. We didn't know how powerful he was, and now we have like a clear idea of like this guy means business and he's capable of some really high level manipulation that we weren't we didn't know about previously.
The second Talbot got appointed to the ATCU, Malik had his son kidnapped.
Yeah.
How is that even possible? That means that he clearly has eyes and ears in the White House, because pretty sure that the president and like probably only a few other people were privy to that knowledge
and
at that point.
Terrifying, because we're so used to Coulson and his team being so many steps ahead of everybody.
Yeah.
But Malik clearly had, the head above everybody else this episode.
Yeah.
And I agree with you, Jesse. It was very simple, and I like how they laid out the plan, which seemed very straightforward to us, which it was. But then, like you said, the twists were crazy and unexpected.
Yeah, anytime television can really surprise us, regardless of whether it's Marvel or this show or not, anytime television is that surprising, that's something to be admired, because we watch a lot of TV, and I think we talked about this on some other after shows as well, but we watch a lot of TV. It's hard to surprise us anymore.
Yeah, it gets to a point when you, especially when you analyze television like we do, that you can see the twists and turns coming. It's never... There's always something that's going to lead you towards it, whether it's just the pacing, the time in the episode. Like, okay, we're 35 minutes in, so that's where we're getting to the top of act, or the bottom of act two, top of act three. So we're going to have a twist like this. But this one managed to like reverse like on us, and just enough that it didn't feel like they were cheating us by like forcing things to like surprise us. But it also felt surprising. Like I didn't expect the first turn with Talbot. Like, yeah. And it made total sense.
Yeah. And even I was saying, like, while we were fast forwarding through commercials, it was like, oh my gosh, and that makes so much sense why the Absorbing Man is working with him. It's like he's been Hydra all this time. We never knew. And so yeah, you really have to hand it to the show for having twists that make sense within the show, and again, can surprise the audience without cheating.
I would like to say that, like, my fifth note is Talbot is either going to die or he's the traitor.
You were watching the show.
Yeah, while I was watching the show. But I was upset about that, because I was like, it doesn't make sense that he's Hydra. Like, he's so uber, like, patriotic, and, like, he's so, like, I'm doing things the right way, and that's the only way there is. Like, he would never be Hydra. So I was really pleasantly surprised that they gave him the proper motivation to be the mole. The fact that his son was kidnapped, I did not see that coming.
No, me neither.
And I'm really happy with the relationship between Coulson and Talbot. I thought it was a lot of fun seeing how culturally insensitive Talbot was.
Oh my god! From the beginning, in my notes, I was like, so I love bad. How he talks about Creel. How he was like, well, now I got one of my own. Like, I don't go anywhere without him. It's like he's not an object.
It felt like he was like a Pokemon trainer. Yeah. Like, he's
I finally
like,
caught an inhuman.
Absorbing Man, go!
I choose you, Creel. Absorbing Man.
Use rubber attack.
And it's good against electric types.
Yeah. Well, he's a flex type, I guess, right?
Yeah, like, I guess.
He's like Ditto.
He is like Ditto. Oh my god.
gosh. It's like a Pikachu Ditto versus a Ditto. It's like adorable. Okay, we should get off Pokemon. But yeah, no, the Talbot in this episode, he was a lot of fun. And I really felt for him in a way that I haven't felt for him in a long time. Because at the beginning of the episode, it looks like his wife is leaving him.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow. I kind of figured things weren't great after the whole Agent 33 thing, but I didn't think she was going to be leaving him anytime soon. It's only later on that we find out, oh, it was because their son was kidnapped. It was for her own safety.
Yeah, I mean, at first, this was like, I thought this was well done in terms of plotting out, because I assumed that they were hinting at a divorce storyline, and that's why he would be so frustrated and tough to work for. Like, he would be so pissed off about Coulson, because it does happen when you're in a job that moves you around a lot. And he just, like, he gets started on a new job. Maybe they thought they were going to settle down in a place. And then he's like, nope, I got to go back to D.C. to run the ATCU out of nowhere. No.
The last head of the ATCU was assassinated. That's probably not something your loved ones want to hear. By the way, I got a promotion. Because
how'd you get that promotion,
but he's
honey?
Got what Rosalind didn't have, and that's Creel.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that made Roz a good head of the ATCU is that she didn't have any relations. Like, she didn't have any family, she didn't have a husband or anything like that, she had an ex, but, like, that wasn't as big a deal. And, like, Talbot does have family, like, he's got
a widow,
wife.
I think.
Yeah, she was a widow. And,
but yeah, he's
got
a son.
He has a wife and he's got a son who...
Which, in the spy world, those are liabilities.
They make him an easy target.
Yeah.
Yeah, so exactly. Malik knew exactly where to hit him.
I mean, that's Hydra right there. Like, they know what buttons to press. They know where you are most vulnerable. And there's no qualms about taking advantage of it.
Yeah, and I gotta say, I'm really impressed, too, that they were able to have us, like, do a complete 180 on Creel as well. You know, just the fact that, you know, somebody who murdered Lucy Lawless. Let's not forget that, guys.
Yeah.
This guy murdered Lucy Lawless in this show. And yet, by the time we get to the end of this episode, I really like this guy. I hope I'm not stabbed in the heart later on for feeling that. But I really like this guy, and I feel bad for him, because we see what Hydra brainwashing has done to people.
Yeah, he's kind of been like everyone else's pawn for a while.
Yeah,
well, I think he'll be in good hands with Talbot, which is strange to say, but because he is kind of like his bodyguard, but he'll be safer than he would be elsewhere.
Yeah, well, question for you guys. Do you think that that Creel was brainwashed? Like,
that
do you think he was actually...
This is going to be a long con sort of situation?
I don't know, not necessarily that it's a con, but, like, do you think he was, like, just an opportunist, like, working for money, or, like, was he legitimately, like, Agent 33-style brainwashed by Hydra?
I think he was just an opportunist.
Yeah, like, I don't get that vibe from him.
Yeah.
I think Creel's, like, a reformed kind of...
Bad guy,
yeah.
Yeah.
Which is... There's precedent for that in Marvel. There's mm-hmm. a lot of bad guys who do good things. There's a lot of good guys who have to do bad things. Like, so I think Creel could definitely be like one of those characters where it's like, because it serves him right now, he is a good guy. But he'll, in the end, do what helps him the most.
See, I agree with that, but I still think that Hydra got a hold of him and did some brainwashing. Because when you're a free agent like that, like, that's not necessarily good for business either. Hydra liked to control their assets. Yeah. So, like, hiring one guy is one thing. Controlling him is a different thing. So I think he was a guy who was just out for himself that Hydra picked up, and now that he can be out for himself again, it is what suits him.
So we got a bit of both worlds.
So we'll see. That's maybe the good makings of an anti-hero. I don't know.
Sure.
Yeah.
But it's a good thing that either way we got Hunter keeping an eye on him, because if he does pull a double cross later on, Hunter's going to be the first one to say, "I told you so."
Yeah, that's true.
which, speaking of Hunter... We had, he had a very interesting, you know, story arc, just kind of trying to tail Creel this whole time. But he also had some interesting things to say with May. May had a lot of good, like, interactions with the hunter at and with Lincoln at the beginning of the episode too. Like, she's always so much fun, but just her dropping the whole "we're not friends," I was like, oh man, yeah.
I know,
those real cold. Like,
I mean, I guess they didn't get along when they first met, but I thought she let bygones be bygones.
Don't say that.
I mean, also they're. We also still have to remember that they're all super spies. Like, they're like, being friends with someone is a weakness if you are a super spy, because part of your job is dying. Like, that's a big part of the job.
Well, and he did show up at her dad's house. I guess that's not cool.
He did show up at her dad's house. But yeah, I thought Hunter had a really good arc, just because he was the one acting the most practically. He's like, what if they bring guns and we don't have guns?
We're literally the... Which, by the way, even if it's against the rules to bring guns, I feel like S.H.I.E.L.D. would bring guns.
You gotta bring guns.
He did. I mean, that's exactly what Hunter did. He's like, yeah, no guns, no guns. I'm just gonna put this dish tray over here. Don't look inside. Don't look inside it.
Do you think Coulson brought him along for that very reason, because he knew he would just flagrantly disregard that order?
They didn't really react either to, like, May didn't really react poorly to when she found out he went after Creel and, like, left his part of the mission, like, leaving Ellen King's room and everything.
So she's just not surprised.
She's not surprised, but also, like, we didn't see it, but, like, they didn't warn him to, like, stick to the plan, and even Bobby wasn't like, you know, what are you doing, Hunter? Like, you're crazy. Like, she normally would. She was more, like, on his side. So I feel like it would make sense for Coulson to have him there to break the rules.
Yeah, I think that is kind of why Coulson has him, because he knows that he's given the order, no weapons. He's covered. He said, don't bring any weapons. But he also knows that Hunter's the type of guy that would undermine that order just in case.
Yeah.
Security.
Hunter's just pissed in this whole episode.
He's been really ticked this whole season.
Yeah.
Needs a vacation. After this. But speaking of, we were talking about Lincoln a little bit. Somebody in this episode came up with a really good ship name for the two of them. You know, you gotta give credit where credit's due, Hunter. Shake and Bake. Shake and Bake. I don't know. What do you guys in the chat think? Is that a good ship name? Bad ship name?
The first thing I thought of was Talladega Nights with Will Ferrell and
Shake and Bake.
John C. Reilly.
Shake and Bake.
That's the first thing I thought of. But I like it. I like it.
It's definitely cute.
Shake and Bake. I don't like that.
Well, it's the sort of condescending thing that Hunter would say.
Yeah.
My only, like, big gripe, this is kind of on point, is that we didn't get any Mac really in this episode, and almost no Fitz and no Simmons. Like,
I don't even think we saw Mac.
We didn't see Mac at all. We didn't.
Which is
he got
weird.
Vacation day.
He must have had a vacation day.
Or maybe he's visiting Yo Yo.
Ooh.
Oh my goodness.
Just throwing that out there. Don't worry about that.
He's like, I'm going to stay behind here in Colombia, so you guys can.
I've got research? That's it. Yeah, research to do on in humans in the area. That's what we're doing. I mean, there was so much going on in this episode. I understand not including Mac, and I understand minimizing Fitzsimmons to the role that they had, which we'll touch on in just a second. So I get it for pacing purposes, and it starts to be that you get, like, too many cooks in the kitchen. You've got too many storylines going at once. And in all honesty, they might have had stuff in this episode that just ended up on the cutting room floor. Well, that happens with TV shows a lot.
Yeah, I think it might just be the fact that it's going to be the cast is getting so big that they're having to kind of cut B stories and C stories in order to allow for the A story to kind of take place. And I think with the end of it, we kind of get a Most Wanted kind of preview with the two of them.
They're clearly this is whatever's happening in the next couple episodes with Hunter and Bobby is clearly going to backdoor pilot into Marvel's Most Wanted, which I think is shooting right now in Vancouver.
I believe
cool. Like, they are shooting a pilot for it. They're actively doing that already. It hasn't been greenlit to series, but they are shooting it, and so I think, like, what we see them do is basically going to be what that show would be like. Like, similar to how Flash showed up and, like, ran around on Arrow before we got a show with him.
Which, again, it'll be interesting. Yeah, I don't want to say one way or another whether I'm for or against the show before it comes out. So it'd be interesting to get our hands on that pilot if we could. If anybody happens to work at Marvel.
Or is really good at torrenting or finding ways to illegally...
We don't condone piracy here.
Advocating that at all. If anyone has $1 million, also send it our way. An Iron Man suit, I would like one of
those.
That would be super.
I would be cool with just like an Iron Man helmet.
Okay.
One suit, a piece of his suit.
Okay, between the four of us, we get a piece of the suit.
Glove! I want the glove!
You get the glove.
We eat, like, one of us gets a glove, one of us gets the other glove, one of us gets one foot in the other. Like,
we'll be like
We have to hold hands in a Voltron-type scenario.
In a Guardians of the Galaxy scenario. And then we can fly.
Together.
That would be hilarious.
It's pretty much actually the plot for the live-action Rooster Teeth movie that just came out.
Oh, it is.
Oh, Lord.
That is the plot of Laser Team, everybody. Anywho, we should get back to Shake and Bake. Let's talk about Daisy and Lincoln. Because I really like their interactions, and we bring up a lot of interesting points tonight in terms of, like, kind of touching again on the fact that Lincoln is a little bit on the edge in terms of, like, he's not as good as Daisy is. He requires a little bit more finessing. He's got more of a temper than she does. And the fact that he also was able to identify Creel's blood, you know, with Fitzsimmons, mm-hmm. as a potential, essentially, vaccine for the inhuman disease, as they were calling it.
Yeah. I think for between the two of them...
Which, X-Men 3, anybody?
Yeah.
But,
Daisy... This is the point in her life where she feels the most comfortable with herself. Like, we saw her struggle in the beginning, didn't know where she was going to end up until she found S.H.I.E.L.D., and then she learned who her parents were, and that was, like, a traumatizing, terrible time for her. And at this time of her life, like I said, she's just super confident, comfortable in herself. She has control. Whereas for Lincoln, I feel like he's still in the worst time of his life. Like, he's not used to what he's gone through, and
he's where she was last season.
He's where he, yeah,
because
exactly.
He's lost everything.
Exactly. Whereas Daisy's the complete opposite. So I understand where he's coming from, but I also think he's not giving himself enough time to, like, learn more about what he can do and how he can use his powers for good on himself.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really interesting argument. Number one, I feel like their story was almost exactly a Buffy and Spike story from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. It felt almost... I feel like I've seen that story done in Buffy, like, including, like, the sparring between the two of them and the sexual tension. That's such a Whedon, like, trope.
Yeah, but Lincoln wasn't, like, a villain first.
No.
So it doesn't map.
But, like, the whole thing where it's, like, I'm worried I could lose control feels like something Spike would say.
All right.
Like, it feels very similar, but I think it's an interesting thing where Daisy is saying, why should we cure who we really are? Like, if this is who we are, then why should there be a cure? There's a reason for it. We're genetically this. And Lincoln is saying that, yeah, there are some people who probably, if given the choice, would not have wanted gift.
There are two components to that. There is the fact that, you know, giving people a choice, people like Andrew, who probably would not have chosen to become Lash, we assume.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's the flip side, which Daisy brings up, where if you create a vaccine, you no longer give people a choice because it will, as she put it, become mandate. For the sake of safety, they would have everybody who tests genetically as an inhuman take this vaccine so that they pose no danger, so that no one runs the risk of becoming a supervillain.
Yeah, so, it's such an interesting dilemma, and not like something we've never seen before.
Yeah.
Again, X-Men 3. Yeah. Good one.
Like literally every X-Men storyline ever.
Well, because it's the natural place to go. Like, I think you have to... I kind of hope that they aren't going to harp on it too much. Like, it doesn't become, like, the major plot point. Like, government facilities set up all over the world. Get your inhuman vaccine. Like, because I've seen that enough times and I don't need it in this world. But it does have to be addressed, because if it is something genetic like that, especially the level of science that these people have, that Fitz and Simmons have, they would be able to block that kind of genetic code. They just would. It seems silly to assume that they wouldn't be able to figure that out. So why not just get it done, address it, and then deal with that plot line and then move forward from there?
Yeah, I mean, it might... just because Civil War is coming up, I feel like it might kind of tie in with that, where like registering people's superpowers, taking their superpowers away, is kind of a huge plot point with at least the comic book Civil War. So so I could see how they could use this analog as the
show. Like, our scientists have created a cure.
Like the show's version of Civil War. Where if they're going to like tie into the Civil War story, if like let's say Lincoln is Tony's side and Daisy is, you know, Cap's side, like they could kind of use that as their analog for it.
Yeah, but unlike Tony and Cap, they'd be getting it all.
We don't know what
they
happens.
Work out their arguments in very different ways. I'm just gonna say
we don't know
their sexy time is a cover, like they're sweeping all their problems under the rug with those
it
moments.
Is, that is fair to mention that, like, what do we see in the trailer? We see them tussling.
You see Captain America saying he could do this all day.
Maybe Civil War is just a lover's quarrel. The whole movie just kind of boils down to
so the fan fiction keeps coming.
So much slash fiction is this exact story.
I'm with Spider-Man now.
I love you. we'll talk about the Civil War trailer a little bit more later on.
But he was with me!
Well, I mean, let's face it, in the story of Civil War, Spider-Man kind of two times with everybody.
Yeah, that's true.
A web of lies!
He bounces back and forth. Ugh, he's such a tramp.
You shoot your webs for everybody now, don't you?
Really? Anyway, let's get back to Shake and Bake again. That basically kind of covers it for Lincoln and Daisy. Just, again, I think they're trying to build up Lincoln as a potential, as like having a potential turn for him. He's with S.H.I.E.L.D. right now, but they keep talking about how he has this edge, how he needs more training, and yeah, he's very much a part of the Secret Warriors right now, but he could very well be the odd man out by the time we actually get the team together.
Yeah, he even says that he doesn't feel like he belongs in the field. So maybe his role is something a little bit pulled back a little.
Yeah. It'll be very interesting to see where he goes as a character, because he's a doctor.
Yeah.
Like, he's not a fighter. Like, he can fight. And that's where his powers become so interesting, because he can do so much damage.
And they're not going to put him with the other scientists like Fitz and Simmons. They're not going to, like, keep him in there working on experiments and research and all that stuff.
He's not a research doctor. He's a medical doctor.
Yeah, he's most useful probably as a medic. But we saw it at the beginning of the episode. He almost killed Creel, even though Coulson was ordering him to stop.
It's like he's teetering between the two, like, feelings that he's got.
Yeah, and he describes it as a war going on between his head.
Well, I mean, we even see when he's fighting Creel, he shocks him quite a bit and, like, has trouble stopping when he's got Creel. I was actually surprised Absorbing Man didn't turn into electricity, which he can do in the comic books.
I've never read that story.
Maybe he's just never tried before. Yeah. Or maybe he just didn't want Lincoln to feel bad, so he's just pretending
he
to be
He might have been depowered at one point, but he's, like, turned him to fire and electricity all that kind of stuff.
I did not know that. I feel like the show is not going to do that.
No, I don't think they'll have a fireman.
a human torch, if you will. Yeah, no. No,
I don't see. If they did, though, they could deny him a bank loan, and it would be great fun for everyone.
The human torch was denied a bank loan today.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
So many Will Ferrell references. I love it.
There are a ton. But,
I did love that fight scene, though.
Yeah, like, it was a really good fight
scene. And, like, the rubber. Like, he reaches for the tire, and you think he's going for the
metal.
The metal, and he does it. It's perfect.
It's great.
Now, there were some really good special effects in tonight's episode. And, again, like, not to jump too much ahead with the Hive storyline, but, like, the stuff that they had going on with Hive, really, really good-looking stuff on screen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Even the caramel notwithstanding.
Yeah.
Anywho, I want to take a real quick moment, to talk about iTunes real quick.
Ooh.
Because we've got a ton of stuff to talk about tonight.
Oh, yeah.
But, folks, thank you so, so much for everybody who's gone to iTunes to rate, leave a comment, subscribe. We absolutely love hearing from you. And the things that you guys have to say are the absolute best. And we know we have fans all over the world. We see iTunes, we don't get to see the iTunes, we know they're there, but if you guys are abroad, we love hearing from you guys on YouTube. We love seeing you guys take screen caps and send them to us of your iTunes comments from your guys' iTunes stores. It's so cool. We had people from Belgium and Morocco,
Brazil,
and Ireland.
Malaysia.
Oh, just commenting on YouTube, saying
the
that
coolest.
They love our show.
Yeah.
It is heartwarming, and it's really mind-boggling also to think that we have an international reach like that.
Jamaica, I believe, as well.
Oh my gosh. That's so cool.
And it's really moving, and honestly, the only reason we're allowed to be here is because of you guys and your support. And the best way to let our producers know that you guys like the show that we're putting on and that you guys like what we're doing, going to iTunes and rating and leaving a comment is the best way to do that. And it also, I don't know, maybe it helps us get guests, too, because that's something that they pay attention to. Studios pay attention to that. Interested parties, take a look at what you guys have to say. So, do we have any new reviews from last week?
We've got, OMG Lee Jazz Hands.
Jazz Hands.
Unfortunately, the only hands that we're getting right now.
Yeah, we're missing a certain agent's hand.
But Jazz Hands, you're awesome, because they say love this podcast. These guys are awesome. Let's beat Scandal. Colson's left hand is missing.
Yeah.
No.
Well, it got replaced.
That's true. It did
it's
get
still
replaced.
In the box, though.
It got replaced with a new robot hand.
Yeah. Like, it's still sitting in that box. Like, the same stone thing, like, holding a vial that it's been.
And
they gotta be able to fix that.
Yeah.
Any new viewers are probably really confused.
But good Kid says, amazing. Keep up the great work. The Big Red Axe says, a love letter. Mac, I miss you. Oh, well, the red... Big Red Axes, man.
No, the Big
letter.
Red Axe.
Mac, I miss you. Why don't we chop things together anymore? Don't let your boss get between us. I want you back. You know chopping his hand off was the right decision. I had to do it. Please come back to me. We can do wonderful things together. Axe launcher. Mumbling under. Or like, take over the world. We had a great connection. I need you. And that is all titled... A love letter.
I think we know where Phil Coulson's.
Oh, awesome.
Gosh. Thank you guys so much. That is so cool.
We have the most creative fans.
Yeah.
We do.
I want to know who you are.
Who are you?
MandaWar17 says, Da Bomb Diggity. Been a subscriber since season 2, and now that season 3 is up the ante. I can't wait to hear more talk about Squidward and the Agents of Coulson. Because technically, S.H.I.E.L.D. is not a thing. BadWolf09 says, fun podcast, great host, 5 stars. I wish this panel could review all the shows that I watch. Oh my god, so many. We do review a lot of shows.
We do
not have time for more. The 10th Plague 8706. You guys got me back into comic books. Love the work you ladies and gentlemen do. Because of you guys, I decided to get back back into reading comics, starting with the Civil War.
Yeah,
cool.
I find it very interesting how Stark was able to see how everything was going to take place, and no one would listen to him. After the last trailer for the movie, I know sad times are ahead in the MCU.
Interesting.
That is not wrong.
Yeah.
And Agent Casey says, whenever I have a bad day, I listen to you guys sing, I will survive.
Oh my god! Guys, I think I blocked that out of my memory. I forgot about it.
Yeah, do you guys remember that a few, like a few months ago, we sang live on this panel.
Don't
you
bring
can
it
go
up.
Back to, I don't know which episode it was, but you can go back and find it. It exists.
Do yourselves a favor. Don't.
Do it.
Just imagine a leaf blower and a chainsaw. And that's basically what it sounded like.
And a vuvuzela.
And a vuvuzela.
Yeah.
Nails on a chalkboard.
And you guys, thank you so much for always supporting us through iTunes and writing in. And it's one of the best ways to support us. But another way that you can support us is also to check out some of the other stuff that people here at AfterBuzz are doing. Including our very own executive producer and creator, Kevin Undergaro. Because are you curious about a celebrity boyfriend's midlife crisis?
Sure.
Do you enjoy hearing about behind the scenes of Hollywood?
I do.
All the time.
Are you amused by old TV and movie references?
Yes.
Actually, yeah.
Well,
surely
yeah.
You can't be serious.
Well, then you're going to love The Tomorrow Show with Kevin Undergaro. You can join AfterBuzz TV's creator and executive producer and Maria Menounos' fiancé, Kevin Undergaro.
Congratulations, by the way,
yes.
Guys.
Along with other AfterBuzz TV hosts that you might recognize, like Miss Roxy Stryer.
Oh, she's awesome.
Ashley Daniels, and a bunch of others.
Jared!
You can watch it live Mondays and Thursdays from 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, or you can subscribe and download it for free on iTunes, or you go right to thetomorrowshow.com. That's where you can get all the information about this show from our amazing, talented creator, Kevin Undergaro. Please go check it out. And if you take a look at the intro on video, I might be seen doing something ridiculous.
Nice.
What?
You're going to have to go watch it
that
to find out.
That should be an incentive, guys.
Oh, gosh. Please, guys. And yeah, and Zach mentioned it. There are a ton of cool people working on this show. Please go support them. They are just the best.
Yeah.
And again, to throw some love out to our live chat,
we're
going to
give that poster away. And what is the contest that we're going to do? We're going to do... powers?
We talked about it a little bit last week, and we wanted to go ahead and expand on that. Guys, if you took the fish oil pill and became an inhuman, what would your superpower be? Think carefully, because we're not looking for your standard answers. We are looking for our favorites.
The best. So, I want to see the best answer. It can be like that. Can mean the most honest, or the most creative. We're just going to pick one.
The funniest.
The most pie in the sky.
Yeah.
The most out there.
What would you
guys
be?
Your power could be pie in the sky.
Like you could summon pies.
Too bad yesterday was pie.
By the way, to win the poster, just to throw this out there, you must be in the United States. Unfortunately, we can only ship within the United States. You'll have to provide us with a Twitter address so that we can get in touch with you.
Yes. Yep. So that we can DM you and you can send us your mailing information and not have to worry about it being out there in the world. So, yes, we'll be announcing the winner at the end of tonight's episode.
What would you guys get?
You know, I know it's cliche. We can go ahead and talk about that. It's cliche. I said it on Twitter. Honestly, flight or teleportation. Like, if flight was off the table, teleportation, 100%. But yeah, absolutely fly. I know it's so cliche.
I love fly.
But flying is really, really cool. How about you, Jesse?
I think I said this on Twitter. Someone asked us what we wanted. And I think, my answer would be teleportation for sure. I feel like you cut down on a lot of time. When you live in LA, teleportation seems like a really convenient...
Stick around. We might have some news about that.
Okay. We might have some teleportation
about
news?
Teleportation?
Yeah. Oh my god, guys. I might be getting my dream. I might be learning how to teleport today.
I said temporal manipulation.
Time, which is teleportation, basically.
No, a temporal, no, it's like time.
Yeah,
time.
But the teleport is to bend time and space.
Well, no, I'm
just saying time, basically, because I have too much to do. So, like, if Lincoln's evolutionary thing is true, I would just be able to get more time.
Yeah.
Please. But you, Joyce?
I remember answering this in Twitter also, and I think this is already someone else's power, but... I'm going to call it multiplicity, where, you know, forget FOMO. Like, I will be everywhere I want to be at once, and I will pick up skills and knowledge from each of
and
my
And yeah, you'd get to retain that. Yeah.
Retain that in my original self.
Live a multiple lifetimes. Yeah. It's like, you sit at my desk. I guess I'm going to Disneyland.
Exactly. It could kind of fulfill that, like, transportation thing. Like, if I want to leave part of myself in L.A. and the other part of me wants to go on vacation in the Upper Northwest, I could do that.
Sure.
And then, you retain the memories of doing both. It's great. You've had a wonderful experience.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, that's a real good one. Not to sound like too much of a nerd, but, like, if flight was off the table, Kamehameha energy blast would be really cool, too. Yeah. Not to sound like a complete
Or the Hadouken.
Yeah, so I guess we should get back to the show.
Yes,
but one last time, put your what you would pick for your inhuman power, and we'll shout out the best ones and pick a winner towards the end of the show.
Sure you can. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about this symposium, because one of the things that they were talking about has some potential real big ramifications if they chose to, like, pursue that looking forward down the line to, like, the Inhumans movie, you know, which we don't know anything about that coming down the line. But one of the things they brought up in this symposium was creating an Inhuman state, which it kind of sounds like the creation of Israel, where theoretically it's like you can be an Inhuman and live here peacefully, and it's a sanctioned thing. But politically, there's a lot going into that. It's like, well, would people be forced to move there if they were Inhumans? Would it be like
would
an
they
open...
rise against?
Well, in the comic books, there's almost always been an Inhuman state. Like, they've almost always had a city that all of the Inhumans live in. It's usually been on the moon. although recently it
maybe
came...
Maybe that's where, you know, it came 3 months
from
now.
Oh, yeah.
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 Oh, didn't even think about it. That's
gosh.
Why Yo-Yo was out in
that's
space.
That's so true.
But
oh, that's really good.
But it usually works out, but that's because of the royal family. And the royal family is just so big, like, they can't introduce it in the TV show. It's got to be, like, they've got to wait for the movie. So, like, I don't know how they would introduce an Inhuman state. Like, I can't think of, like, a lower level royal family. Like, maybe Crystal could be in the TV show, but she's so big to the comic books. Like, I feel like she's got to be in the movie as well.
Again, the movie's just so far out. Like, it's almost a stretch to even think, like, as much as we love Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., 9 seasons...
is so long.
I guess it would be 7 seasons. Yeah. No, 6. 8 seasons. It would be 8...
any number
it would
you
be
can
S.H.I.E.L.D.
think of.
It would be S.H.I.E.L.D. in season 8.
Yes.
Would align with the Inhumans movie. And that's a lot.
Many seasons.
To give you guys a little bit of perspective, a show isn't really considered successful until you hit season 5 and your show ends up in syndication.
Yeah.
Any show that doesn't make that is not a return on the investment for everybody involved, unfortunately. I mean, there are some exceptions and, you know, different mediums allow for different things. But ultimately, for a lot of shows, it's 5 seasons in syndication before it was ever worth it for the people who made it. And so few shows actually make it that far in relation to everything that gets pitched and put out there.
And as far as Inhuman stuff goes, there's another Inhuman that gets talked about in this episode, which is the one in Australia.
Yeah.
And there's a mutant that is Australian who has teleportation powers named Manifold.
Yeah, yes. I was going to say, you could see Eden Fassi.
Oh, that's his
in
name.
The fold. Yeah, so, his name was on the folder.
Oh, so
I didn't even
so
notice.
They made a mutant an inhuman, which is fine. He can teleport wherever he wants to. Like, he doesn't have to be able to see it. He doesn't even have to know anything about it. He can teleport from Earth into another galaxy or time. Like, he has extreme teleportation powers. I don't know if that will be in the show, but Eden is, like, super powerful
He also joins the Secret Warriors in the book. So, like...
And they freed him now.
And they and now they've seen this file, so then they know about his existence.
Yeah.
And teleportation would be great for a spy.
Manifold,
let's face it.
Like, I only discovered, like,
He's also an Aborigine, by the way, which
is cool. That was the thing, is I first read him in Hickman's Avengers run recently. When it first started out, they brought him into the Avengers.
So he could teleport to Mars and back.
Yeah. and I feel like instantly, like, loved this character. He's great. And so bringing him in here would be awesome.
Be really cool to see.
And guys, again, if we have a teleporter with that kind of capability, then what we see at the beginning of the last episode with the SHIELD vehicle in space, whoever was still in there at the time might not die.
True.
If that's the case. Yeah. If there's somebody who owes SHIELD a favor that has the capability of teleporting into space.
And that blood we saw was just, like, residual from, like, an injury or something.
Or something.
Hopefully.
Yeah, I don't know. But like, that's... Like, say if it was Coulson in that plane, we have somebody with the teleportation powers to be able to save him.
I think he'd be so cool on the show. I would love to see them bring on a character like him.
That would be really sweet.
He would add so much to the team.
Yeah. Also, Eden is a really just interesting character as far as his personality and, like, his morality as well. It'd be really cool to see a character like that. And I know a lot of you guys are asking, like, I know some of them have been saying, like, maybe we can get a Cloak and Dagger type thing. It would be cool to see them. Cloak is also a teleporter who can do mass teleportation, so it would be nice to fill that role in with the team. It would make them super mobile, which would be great.
There's another thing, and it was more in the Shake and Bake storyline, but there we also get the mention of a group, a hate group, called the Watchdogs.
See, I didn't hear that as the name of a group. I heard that as just like, because the news calls
like
people watchdogs all the time. It's just
neighborhood
like a general like term like, for people.
Except there is precedence in Captain America. There's a group of censorship fanatics called the Watchdogs, and what they would do is they would put electric collars on people that they felt needed to be censored, and they would electrocute them with their electric powers. So maybe it's just like a wink to Marvel fans, or maybe that's
like
what we'll see.
It's just a name drop. So it could either be nothing. It could be a wink. And as kind of like a little nod to comic book fans, or it could be a very blatant name drop for something that we're going to see later on, because Daisy referred to them as a hate group, as a bunch of trolls who want to eliminate Inhumans.
Yeah.
And I don't think necessarily that that's something that should be ignored, and that may, in fact, provide fuel for the fire to create this inhuman state, which by the end of this episode, it looks like that's what's going to happen. It looks like there's going to be an inhuman state created in Russia that Malik has full access to.
Oh, God.
Provided Bobby and Hunter don't murder him first.
Yeah, and we know, I think we're starting to see, like, they're trying to build an army of inhumans that are infected by a hive. Like, that seems to be what they're trying to get as many Inhumans as possible to be infected by Hive so they can have this army of supers.
So,
go ahead.
Well, here's the thing that I sort of want to get some clarification on the MCU version of Hive.
Yeah.
Is he says in this episode that he cannot control Inhumans, right?
Which is why Guillermo wasn't...
No, he said he can't inhabit an inhuman.
Inhabit.
Because he said specifically, we don't feast on our own kind. Which, by the way, anytime a villain says we, that refers to themselves as we, that's real creepy.
Yeah,
so I think what that means is, like, an inhuman can't be his main host. Like, okay. Ward cannot be an Inhuman because they it can't be his main host, but he can still infect. I think his powers are just to infect Inhumans in the TV show version.
Which I'm with you, Zach. I really want clarification on the extent of his controlling abilities, because the two Inhumans that he looked like he infected over the past two episodes, they did not look like they were fully on board Mm-mm. with what he was doing. In fact, they very much looked like they were against it. You could see the emotion on their faces when he's like, leave me be with these five tasty morsels that I'm gonna like blenderize whatever he did to them.
In one comic version of Hive, like, they wouldn't seem infected, and then like after a while of incubation, the thing that was infected would then just have a squid's head, like, out of nowhere. So maybe it's...
maybe it's like a time thing, like the longer they're exposed.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be like that, but I think maybe it's like Zoidberg. They're incubating the spores right now. They're in their body and they're kind of...
Or maybe it's maybe they're doing it so that, like, the people who are being controlled are just sentient of, like, everything that they're doing. Like, they're still present, but they have to obey. Like, sort of like what Kilgrave had going on, not quite, because when Kilgrave controlled someone, they absolutely, like, they were fixated on doing whatever it is they would do. These guys look like they have more awareness than somebody who's being controlled by Kilgrave.
Yeah.
Which, I want to just give a quick shout-out to Rebel Queen on Twitter.
Oh, no.
Last week I talked about the little Futurama thing, and she sent us a little Photoshop, and it made me very, very happy.
I love that. Is
brain
awesome.
Slug.
It was so cute, just the best.
For what it's worth, guys, the chat has proven Jesse right and me wrong. They
thank you, chat. Finally, you're on my side.
I didn't even see this because it came out today, but they released some set photos of the Watchdogs who are coming up very soon on the show.
Okay, so it was a blatant name drop.
Yep,
then.
It was.
Okay. That's really cool.
So, yeah, the Watchdogs
Thank
are coming.
You guys for letting us know, because that's big news.
Finally,
I don't
the chat,
recognize any of them.
Finally,
right now.
The chat is on my side. I've stepped out of Matt Lieberman's shadow for the first time.
How does it feel, Jesse?
Oh, it feels free.
We're so proud of you. All right. So yeah, I got it. Just to kind of draw it back to Hyde, I was really shocked by. I mean, I thought that Ward was going to be emaciated this whole time, because I did not realize that, like, regeneration was sort of a thing that he was capable of, and all it took was five people getting liquidated.
That's
no
it,
big
just
deal.
Five people. Mm.
No big.
It's for the greater good.
The greater good. but yeah, no, and that was definitely one of the more shocking things that I think we've seen on this show ever. Yeah. Right up there with, like, Roz getting assassinated and, like, Ward actually getting murdered, too.
Because that was very graphic. That was very, like, we saw the positions those people were in, like, when they went down, when Hive, like, mutilated them or whatever he did. That was gruesome.
And heard their screams.
And that goo, like, that could only be from their bodies. Like, it's just gross.
Yeah.
Ugh.
But yeah. That, I mean, I like it because it's, like, we didn't...
It ups the ante a little bit. Yeah.
We had no idea what his motives or abilities were last week, so this was...
Yeah.
A gruesome preview.
I liked with his emaciated form. We didn't see if he still has it, but I think we talked about it. I didn't notice last week that he has the handprint still in his
really
chest.
Oh, yeah.
When he got compressed by Coulson.
Now he's just like buff.
Yeah.
He's a superhuman, not human.
I wish he still had the handprint. That'd be really kind of a cool, like, character-defining thing.
When they see Ward for the first time,
they're gonna go insane.
That's gonna be crazy.
They're gonna be real mad. But yeah, I'm so torn.
I got excited and broke my chair.
I'm torn by this because on the one hand, I find Hive extremely intimidating, and now that he's back to full strength, so to speak, like, that's really unsettling. But the thing that I'm kind of bothered by this turn of events, and they made it very clear at the beginning of the episode, Ward is dead. He is dead, 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 dead.
That was such a great setup, too.
But the thing that bothers me is that you guys, we talked about it last week, and you said that there was some potential precedent for somebody who was dead, infected by Hive, being able to, to come back.
Yeah.
To, like, there was still a way to, like, somehow be saved, and I don't like that now we sort of have that potential there for Ward to, like, to be rid of Hive and then to be back as a villain.
Marvel
I
zombies.
Liked him dead. No, I liked him dead, and I want him to stay that
me
way.
Me too. I
don't think they're going to do that. I think that this was very clear in their setup of Ward is dead.
Ward is gone.
And all they're doing is saving their makeup budget so they don't have to put him in, like... Although, as creepy as the Skeleton Man was, it's
That's
a lot
hard to
easier
do.
To just, like, make him look human. Like a person again.
I mean, Caramel Syrup Man is also very creepy.
it just
naked
adds another...
Caramel Syrup Man.
I get that it's a way for them to, like you said, save on the makeup and all that stuff in the budget, but it still gives his character and his villain, like, a whole nother level. Like, I didn't think this was something he was going to do. I thought we were going to see him emaciated this whole time.
Yeah,
I thought
it's a good shock factor.
And like, there's precedent in the books, but the Hive also has a squid head in the books. Like, like, that's not a joke.
I know. It just sounds so silly.
Do yourself a favor. Do a Google image search of Hive Marvel.
I'm just picturing, like, a Cthulhu guy in, like, a suit.
That's basically it. You found it.
You're 100%, you're 100%
on. I picture
Zoidberg.
Basically. That, yeah.
Love it.
No, it's great.
Zoidberg. Your team is bad and you should feel bad.
You guys are joking, but this is the way he is depicted.
Yeah, no, it's...
Hive can only move sideways.
He's becoming less of a squid and more of a crab.
Did you guys hear there was a really cute species of octopus discovered a couple weeks ago?
I did hear that.
Yeah.
It's so cute.
It's... What is it called? Like a ghost squid or something? It's
Don't
adorable.
Trust
anyway.
It!
But it's so cute.
But it's so cute.
It was just discovered. It could have come from anywhere. Who knows what rift it traveled through.
It could
end
up
know.
Like eating your brain and controlling you like Ward is being now controlled.
I think it's the best new species ever. And we should accept them as our friends.
Did you get a haircut, Jesse?
Uh-uh.
Anyway, that kind of wraps it up, I think. I think we touched
on... For S.H.I.E.L.D. at least.
Yeah, I think we touched on basically everything for S.H.I.E.L.D., unless there's something else you want to bring up?
Just really quickly, I thought the fights were really cool. Like, the Bobby slow motion throw of the batons
so
was
cool.
Super cool.
She was great.
And
her scaling the building to get into the rooms that she needed to continue. Shout out to Bobby in this episode. She was just knocking it out of the park.
And in general, I think it's really cool to see the world opinion on Inhumans. And I thought that was, like, a great... Even if we never see anything about it again, it's, like, just something that lets the world of this show a little bit bigger. We know that there are Inhumans in other countries.
Yeah, it exists outside of the characters.
And we know that there's policy being done. Yeah, and, like, I think that overall is, like, even if this episode didn't maybe... push that much of the storyline forward, it made the world bigger, which I really enjoyed.
Yeah, and it also makes it more convincing and more real. I mean, we are watching a TV show that's based off of comic books, but it still kind of hits close to home.
Yeah.
It's easy to relate to.
No, there's so much in this that, like, really hits close
parallels,
to home. Especially, like, with hate groups online.
Mm-hmm.
Especially after some of the ugly election stuff we got news about this weekend. It's just... it's just awful. But I'm with you, Zach, talking about how this, like, adds an element of realism. Just the, with to having world leaders say, frankly, this is an arms race is what this is.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter if they're aliens or not. They have power, and that is an asset, and we are going to be competing for that power. Like, that is a fact.
Yeah.
Like, we don't want to send our Inhumans over to another country. That's ludicrous. So it's interesting hearing differing perspectives on, quote-unquote, the problem.
Yeah, for sure.
Anywho, is there anything else you guys want to bring up before we talk about the massive amount of news we got?
No, let's talk some news and gossip.
Woo, okay, never mind.
Cue the music.
There we go.
It's not really news, so I guess we can lose, because this is going to be a whole discussion.
Well, we got a little bit of news. Luke Cage is going to be premiering in September.
I'm so jazzed.
That was this week.
Yeah. It's been a big week.
That's crazy.
Busy week.
That's
really exciting, and we're all looking forward to it, but the two really big things that we're talking about right now, Civil War and Daredevil. So, guys, I warned you before we started the show. Civil War. I want to know. We're going to talk about this trailer, but when we're done talking about this trailer, I want to know where you stand, Team Cap or Team Iron Man. I don't know.
Why would you make us do that?
Because I know where I stand. Anyway, so the new trailer dropped, and for those of you who haven't watched the trailer yet, who don't want to know anything about it, skip ahead like 5-10 minutes, something like that, because we're going to be talking about it, and the movie dropped some pretty big spoilers.
Yeah.
One big spoiler in particular, which I really wish the internet hadn't spoiled for me, in all honesty. I would have loved to have seen the trailer not knowing that Spider-Man was there at the end.
Good old neighborhood Spider-Man.
Underoos!
I'll be honest, the first, like, 10 times I watched the trailer,
How many times do you think you've watched it?
It's probably around a dozen right now. But, like, the first, like, few times I watched it, I didn't know what Tony Stark was saying. Like, I got there, as soon as somebody, like, said, like, oh, he's saying underoos, I immediately understood what he meant. But I thought he was saying on the roof, and I was very confused. Like, I guess that works.
Yeah. The thing I like about Spider-Man is we see that his eyes are mechanical, which in the comic book, Spider-Man is initially on Tony Stark's side and has an Iron Spider suit, a suit that he got made by Tony Stark.
That actually makes sense, because when I first saw the trailer and I first saw Spider-Man, I didn't like the way his eyes moved.
Yeah, so
I didn't like that part of his costume or that part of his aesthetic, but it makes sense if he's working alongside Tony Stark for him to be a little more sophisticated.
I think it's absolutely going to be the MCU version of the Iron Spider, because you're introducing him. You can't do the gold
the
and
Scarlet
red.
Iron. Yeah,
yeah, well, like one for this.
Well, and the thing is that we've like from an aesthetic standpoint, I've watched a lot of Spider-Man cartoons growing up, and one thing that is all that they always need, and this is in the comics too, they rely on his eyes to emote. Even though he's wearing a mask, his eyes can change, you know, their size and shape so that they can convey the emotions that he's feeling. And it looks like that's the direction that they're going after several 5 movies of not having that. So it's an interesting aesthetic choice, just trying to be different than what we've seen before.
We saw it in Deadpool. They used the eyes to emote, and it really did help him deliver punchlines.
But it works in Deadpool only because Deadpool's a little bit bigger than life.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's in the MCU, it has to remain real, because that's the way that the MCU is built. What I think we're going to get as far as Spider-Man's costume, there were some rumors, unconfirmed, but that his costume was going to be a hoodie-based costume. Like, still with that, like
the Spider-Gwen thing.
Yeah, exactly. Because I think the Spider-Gwen costume is so popular right now.
It's very cool.
Basically, we're going to see him in basically that, with, like, the mask, but, like, a hood, but a red and blue hoodie on top of it. And
guess what, Disney? You can sell those hoodies.
I will buy that hoodie. I will, hoodie. Too. Well, that's the thing. The rumors are based on a hoodie that is going to be sold. Yeah. That people are like, is it just a hoodie or is it actually a costume hoodie? I think that's where Tony Stark's going to find him in that, and then upgrade him to this, and then he ends the movie in the more basic
traditional
Spider-Man,
kind of
traditional.
Kind of. I just hope we see like nods to those funny Spider-Man cartoon memes on the internet, where he's like just sitting at a desk.
Beryl, I insist after you.
Also, in the trailer, we get the raft, which people who aren't familiar with comic books. The raft is a super prison. It's where you keep all of your supervillains. And it looks like maybe at one point Winter Soldier is in that raft. That looks like one of the fights might be taking place in that fight. Winter Soldier's like in this yellow containment unit. So it looks like we're getting a super prison, which is a huge part. 42.
I think they might call it 42.
And just combine
just
them.
Yeah, because like, I mean, I love that aspect of it. Like, but that's in the negative zone, which they can't do. This makes more sense.
But like, keeping it in the middle of the ocean, like it's kind of like a man-made Alcatraz, I guess a machine Alcatraz, since Alcatraz
also,
is a prison anyway.
Yeah. We get to see Black Panther, like a kitty cat, jump on top of the roof of a car and then pounce on the back of a motorcycle and swipe at it and make it go.
He looks real cool.
He
really does.
So goddamn cool.
We also saw him get shot and the bullets just bounce off because he's got that vibranium.
So
the part of the trailer where I lost it, like I exclaimed loudly, was very simply Ant-Man. Ant-Man on the arrow shot through the air.
That was so cool.
And I'll tell you what I think is going to happen after the shot that we saw.
Well, there's precedence of him slipping into the Iron Man armor and like screwing around with Iron Man by like finding a nook and cranny and getting in there.
I think what we're going to get is he's going to get shot up there. He's going to crawl into Iron Man's suit, pull a wire, jump out, and then hit the button, giant man grabs Tony Stark and tosses him.
God, I hope that's what happens.
If it happens, I will just be frozen for the rest of the movie. And I will be immobile.
And if it doesn't happen, then someone at Marvel needs to hire Zach as a consultant, because
really
why would you not capitalize on that opportunity?
He's my favorite.
And for me, my favorite moment of the trailer was just, and it's so funny because one would think that Spider-Man was my favorite moment because I love him so much. He's like, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a photographer because of Peter Parker. But my favorite moment in the trailer was just Cap saying, I could do this all day.
Yeah, that was my favorite moment as well.
That was a wonderful callback. There was a lot of emotion behind that.
Well, we all know who you're picking.
Yeah. All right, yeah, I admit it. I am Team Cap. I can't have it any other way because I'm afraid that Tony's side is very much going to make a list of superheroes and I don't like the idea of Hydra getting a hold of that list, in all honesty. Yeah.
I don't like the idea of the government getting a hold of that list.
Well, the thing is, again, we saw it tonight with Talbot. The second he was appointed to the head of the ATCU, Hydra knew about it. The second they compile something like that, it's going to be in Hydra's hands, and that is not where you want it. So well, I can't be Team Iron Man, guys.
The problem, though, and this is where it gets interesting, because like I have trouble picking a side, because basically Team Cap is fighting for like the wrong fight for all the right reasons, and Tony's and Team like Iron Man is fighting the right side, but like going about it in all the wrong ways because the
Avengers should have checks and balances.
Right. And what Cap is fighting for is no checks and balances, that they are the ones who decide, but nobody chose them, nobody elected them to do it. We might give them the opportunity, but we didn't. And look, and just coming off of what happened is in Ultron, is Tony was unregulated. He was just trying stuff out, and he wound up killing thousands of people.
For sure.
So maybe,
because he had an idea.
And he's probably acting out of, like, fear for that.
Well, he's acting... He's like, somebody needs to be checking me.
Yeah.
In the same breath, though, if someone was regulating Tony and telling him you can't have that Iron Man suit like they tried to in Iron Man 2, then he doesn't save the world in the Avengers.
Yeah.
Like in Iron Man 2, they wanted to take it away from him. They didn't want him
and
to have
said,
that freedom.
Screw you and save the day.
Yeah. This is why I don't know.
Well, and the other thing is that it was Hydra telling him, you stop that.
Can I just be Team Ant-Man?
And guess whose Team Ant-Man is on?
I know.
I'm join the winning team.
I'm Team Cap just because I'm anti-registration. I don't think a race of people should ever need to be registered.
100%
agreement. Well, no, but the difference is it's not about, and this is where I think it's most interesting, is because it's not about you are a superhero, so you must register. You are Captain America, so you must register. It's if you want to fight crime, if you want to fight evildoers.
That's not necessarily what we're getting, but we'll see. That's the distinction in the books.
Yeah, no, in the books, it was, if you have a superpower, if you are born different, doesn't matter what it is, you get put on a list. And then you have to go to a government facility. It didn't matter if you wanted to be a superhero or not.
And
you got put on the list.
I might have to go reread it. I always read it as they're only going after you if you're going to fight crime.
No,
they're always talking about, like,
in Avengers Academy, there was the girl who was just hanging out in the clouds. She wasn't fighting crime, and she got arrested and put into Avengers Academy because she had a superpower. Like, her name was Cloud9. She became a sniper. But Iron Man was clearly the villain in the comic books. Like, he was... They clearly wrote him as the villain in the comic books, which is... I think in this, it's going to be less black and white, though, in the movie.
Yeah,
I'm sure they'll add some shades of gray.
Making sure that we have time to get to Daredevil.
Let's do it.
The most important thing to ask, though, real quick, before we get off Civil War, what do you guys think the implications are going to be for S.H.I.E.L.D.? From Civil War.
That's tough.
We know, just based on what we've heard from the Russo brothers, they're not going to incorporate S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Inhumans into Civil War.
But everything that happens in Civil War will have repercussions for S.H.I.E.L.D.
It will work the other way.
If I were to make it's real early still. It's still early to be making speculations. But in all honesty, I feel like it's honestly going to depend on the fallout of this conflict. Who's going to win, or at what point do they decide that the fight isn't worth it anymore?
Yeah, I think it's about the vaccine. Like, it'll be about that vaccine.
I think...
Someone's opinion in that symposium, like, it's going to trump everyone else's. I don't know.
I think by the end of Civil War, registration becomes
mandatory.
Law.
Yeah. Because if Civil War ends with, you know, Team Cap giving up, then that means that there are superpowered people out there who are outlaws now.
Yeah, and I think what that's going to result in is we're going to see on S.H.I.E.L.D., we're going to see a civil war of our own where it could be the way we saw it today with Lincoln and Daisy. I think in more likely they're going to wind up reversing on it, but they're going to wind up on different sides.
Yeah.
And it is going just like it's going to tear our superheroes apart. It's going to tear S.H.I.E.L.D. apart in terms of
tearing me apart.
Yeah.
Well, and we can see, you know, everybody reacted to the Inhuman news differently. I think that news of registration, everyone's probably going to do the same.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we might get surprised. Like, Mac might end up on a side that surprises us. We don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's talk about Daredevil real quick.
I think we just got to do, like, one moment each.
God, I just think it looks cool that Daredevil's more comfortable with his powers. He is, like, sensing arrows being shot at him. God, it's exciting.
The fight with the water dripping down and the electric kiss.
Yeah.
I mean, just like the freaking Punisher in that, like, what, mental institution garb covered in blood?
Mm-hmm.
That was creepy.
Everything about the way that this trailer was cut, it's like they're going to take what they did right in season one and just magnify it.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited.
I hate to bring in and I don't know Elektra's storyline in the comics, and I hate to cross over with another franchise, but I got a very Catwoman Batman vibe between her and Daredevil.
That seems to be the vibe they're trying to go off.
I mean, Elektra in the comic books has been the lover of both Daredevil and Punisher, so we'll see.
Interesting. There was that one, like the like sex scene, like where it's just like boom, it's right in front of you. It looks like whoever she's with, because they intentionally leave them out. It's like almost choking her. It's real weird.
You know, whatever they do, that's their business.
But guys, I'm excited to tell you when you are going to be able to watch me and Jesse and Mark Donica and Jamie Elias here at AfterBuzz TV to talk Daredevil this coming Saturday.
Saturday morning. We're your cartoons.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys are coming in after hours, basically.
I don't know if kids should be watching that.
No. Bring your kids. Bring the old people.
Bring your kids, like all those parents who took their kids to
Daredevil. Don't bring your kids.
Deadpool.
But yeah, Saturday morning, we're going to start at 10 a.m., recapping episodes number 1 and 2 together as our first after show. And then we're going to take a 2-hour break while we go watch episodes 3 and 4. We'll give you guys time to go watch episodes 3 and 4 as well. And then we're going to go right back into the studio to talk episodes 3 and 4. And that's going to be Saturday. So we're going to do 2 after shows Saturday right after it premieres on Friday. And then, bonus, on Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m., right here at AfterBuzz, we're going to be talking to the composer of Daredevil live in studio. Megan helped us set it up.
Yeah.
His name is John. I forgot his last name.
It's not. Is it John Williams?
No, it's not. It's not John Williams. But I can pull it up as I also pull up our winner.
Yeah, who won the contest?
Well, maybe if you stall until I pull this up.
Okay. Another thing I liked from that Daredevil trailer was the ninjas. I can't not be excited about ninjas.
Ninjas are always fun.
We also see the classic Elektra weapons in there as well. It's going to be... So I'm so excited for Daredevil.
Now, I am a little concerned that I'm really excited. It looks like there's a lot of really great stuff. But I'm worried that with bringing in these different characters, I worry that the story is going to get a little too cluttered. That's a legitimate concern because you still have like Wilson Fisk stuff going on, even though that's not going to be in the forefront.
Yeah, there's so much to talk about. Yeah, and yeah, it's John Pisano,
okay. Which is going to be Dubs, fantastic music in that
series.
Yeah,
that's the thing. He composed the opening score, like the opening soundtrack, and all the music for seasons 1 and 2. And he's like very excited. I've heard about the different scores that he has for Elektra and the Punisher, in addition to the stuff from Daredevil. But I am excited to announce our winner of the poster.
Hold on, I got a Snapchat.
The double sided poster is the answer first. It's from Miss Kaylee Rose, who says, as a mom, I would say telekinesis. Like, just think something, and it gets moved into its place. Super cleaning power.
Oh, heck yes.
I thought that made me laugh. There were some other ones. I don't have the names in front of me because my computer died. But somebody had suggested the ability to mend the wounds between Fox and Marvel.
That's hilarious.
But yeah, thank you, Kaylee. Send us a note on Twitter,
please.
And Megan.
You can either send it to me, to Zach, or to ABTV Marvel. Take your pick, and we will DM you.
Yep. So, and there are packages going out next week with toys and stuff that they've never gotten.
Cool.
I swear, I found them.
All right. Real quick, we got to talk predictions. All right.
Do we have time? I don't think we have time.
I don't think we have time.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions. All right,
real quick. Okay. Shadow Man.
Spitfire.
Yeah. It looks like there's going to be a Shadow Dude. Looks like a noob Cybot type situation. Real excited.
I love shadow villains. I really, really do. I'm really excited.
My prediction is just we're going to get Manifold by the end of the season.
I wouldn't like that.
Because I want it.
I think Daisy's going to see Ward in his current state. Or dead state.
Hopefully with pants.
And I think she's that's going to cause her to maybe side with Lincoln a little more, but only temporarily.
Great. Like, ultimately, they'll have a rift. Yeah, yeah. No, just more gross stuff from Hive. Super gross stuff from Hive. That's going to be a thing.
What a gross character.
Gross character. So gross. Anyway, guys, thank you all so much for tuning in. Thank you to everybody who participated in our contest, in the live chat. Our international audience is fantastic. You guys are just the bee's knees. I have no words for how great you guys are. Thank you guys so much. Jesse Klein, where can people find you?
You can find me this Saturday doing Daredevil with Zach. Yeah. It's going to be super exciting. This Wednesday, that's tomorrow, if you're in Los Angeles, you can see my team Haymaker. It's a sketch team at 10:30 at the Pack Theater. Don't go, though. It's not for you. If you live in Austin, my sketch team DJ Fawcett just got into Austin Sketch Festival. Cool. We'll be there next month with ABTV Shield alum Matt Lieberman. So if you're in that area, come say hi and watch our show.
I'm just going to keep plugging Matt Lieberman tonight.
He's a good guy.
Yeah. stay tuned. You guys can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube at ThatZachWilson. Tune in next Monday. I'm going to be dropping a new video about, weirdly enough, some DC stuff. I did some videos with Matt Lee. but I'm really excited. It's a really cool stuff we're going to be talking about. So check that out.
Well, Matt Lieberman's not involved in my life in any way at this point. But you can catch me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Jay Azuri. I've got some behind the scenes snaps of us, so check those out, and I'll see you guys next week.
And I'm Megan. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. I'm also on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz. And I also write articles for The Movie Chick. That's Chick with two Ks. Be sure to check those out. Thank you, everybody, who tuned into the Matt Lieberman show this week. Thank you all so much. We will see you all next time.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.